Police in Melbourne appear to have shot rubber bullets at protesters who gathered in their hundreds at the city's Shrine of Remembrance, locked in a standoff with riot officers in a third day of demonstrations in that city. The activists are protesting against the lockdown and demanding a vaccine mandate for the construction industry be lifted. And then there was an earthquake. The ABC reporter Dana Morse is on the line from Melbourne. Kia ora, Dana.
Good evening.
The Shrine of Remembrance. Why did they, any particular reason why the protesters gathered there today?
It's not really known what the logic was behind why protesters decided to make their way to the shrine. Possibly that it was just a big open space and that they were able to get around police to gather there. But what I can tell you is that it has been really poorly received, particularly in the defence community. The chief executive of the shrine came out today and said that they had desecrated the sanctity of a sacred place that is so highly regarded among Australians. And the RSL also condemned the use of the shrine for protesting, saying that it should be a place that is free of these kinds of actions and should be respected as a ground for the fallen servicemen and women of Australia.
I'm guessing, Dana, that that's where people go in Melbourne for your big Anzac Day commemorations?
It is, and it's where our eternal flame also burns.
Have they all gone now, the protesters, from the Shrine of Remembrance area?
Yeah, so around 6 o'clock is when things sort of came to a head here. Protesters were given the option to leave the shrine via St Kilda Road. Police were saying, if you want to go, go now. And those who remained ended up in this standoff with police, and that's when police moved in and fired projectiles in order to disperse the crowd and made a lot of arrests. It was all over very quickly. We heard from our reporters on the ground. In fact, one was doing a cross with local radio here. Things had just kicked off as she began talking, and by the time she was finished, the protesters had all cleared out and run off, and police were, of course, in pursuit. They weren't able to sort of reform in a big crowd like they had been throughout the day after they were broken up at the shrine. But we've heard from these protesters that they plan to meet every single day for the next 2 weeks while the construction industry is shut down. But interestingly, police say that today they don't think that many of the people that attended were construction industry related at all. We've heard as well from the unions over the last 3 days that this movement has been co-opted by anti-vaxxers and extreme right-wing extremists who are looking to get into clashes with police and the government about the ongoing lockdowns and the vaccine.
Projectiles were fired by the police. Is that because we don't exactly know what they fired?
Yes, so we believe it's a range of different things. They've used, over the last 3 days, they've used beanbag guns. They have used what they call pepper ball rounds, which are pepper spray projectiles. They've used pepper spray grenades. They've also used flashbang grenades. So it's been a range of things that have been used to break up these protesters and move people on.
How unusual is that, Dana, in terms of the police actually firing things at the crowd to disperse them in Melbourne, in Australia?
Well, I can tell you that I've covered a few of these protests now since the beginning of the year, and it's not been unusual for these tactics to be deployed as a last resort by police. These protests that we're seeing occur, particularly when they involve anti-lockdown and anti-vax members of the community, have a tendency to turn violent very quickly. Well, I can tell you as well that two police officers were bottled today. They had glass bottles thrown at them and had to be treated in hospital as a result. People came with golf balls. They were throwing all kinds of projectiles at police and really risking them injury. And police are really concerned about that because they're coming with them. They're coming with things like, even I heard today, they were throwing tap ends at police. So
tap ends,
really,
as in a faucet.
As in a faucet,
right.
Yes. So,
well, maybe they are from the construction industry after all.
Well, you could draw that conclusion, I suppose. It's really sort of been quite random, the things that they're throwing, other than their able to be kept in their pockets quite easily, and they've got a bit of force behind them when they're lobbed.
Dana, if you've covered a few of these protests, when you hear people saying this is maybe not a bunch of tradies, maybe this has been co-opted by other people with other agendas, what's your take on that? I mean, when you've talked to some of these protesters, are they telling you they're tradies, and do you believe them?
Well, what I can tell you is that I've been walking around Melbourne, that's where I live, and a lot of the high-vis that's getting around is fresh out of the box with the tags on and has not seen a construction site. There's quite a few people getting around with that. We've seen shops be completely sold out of high-vis items. There's also a few familiar faces that we have seen across protests and attending all kinds of these kinds of rallies over the last sort of 6 months. So it's fair to assume that at least part of the crowds that are forming here are not related to the construction industry. But that's not to say that there aren't tradies among them. And we know that this started with a disagreement between tradies and the union. But, you know, that was a protest of a few hundred people, and it morphed into thousands the following day, back down to around, they're estimating around 400 today. So it's really difficult to tell what that breakdown is. But, yeah, I think it's very fair to assume that there are quite a few people posing as members of the construction industry here just in order to get out and protest something.
And the lockout, is that, well, lock, the fact that the tradies can't go to construction, there's no construction now for the next 2 weeks. Is the government, what's been the response, I guess, from people who aren't in the construction industry, other Australians, other Melburnians, to that government action, locking people out of construction? Are people seeing that as being fair?
Yeah, well, so what's happened with the construction industry is, it was shut down because there was a really concerning amount of non-compliance, and construction has become one of the industries where cases are growing out of control. There are a lot of sort of almost jokes about the way that construction workers wear their masks here in Melbourne, which is that they wear them underneath their chin and not over their faces. A lot of, anecdotally, I can tell you that I see a lot of construction sites that are only supposed to be operating at 25% capacity but seem to have a lot of workers there for the size site that they are. So construction have had a fairly good go of it here in Australia. They've been able to operate basically the entire time that coronavirus has been here. Not without restrictions. There have been restrictions, of course, but, you know, there's a lot of industries that haven't even had the opportunity to open their doors. And a lot of people are taking it quite badly that this is a male-dominated workforce construction. They've had a lot of opportunity to stay open. They've essentially been closed because of too many sites refusing to follow the rules that allow them to stay open. And yet we see a lot of female-dominated industries like the beauty industry, hairdressers, childcare workers, the like, that haven't even had the opportunity to open, and they're not even getting the opportunity to follow some rules. They're just locked down entirely. So I would say, look, and some construction sites do remain open, I should say, as well. Essential projects, so level crossing removals and hospital expansions, those are ongoing. Those haven't been closed. But I think the community response to this is that construction have had a very good go of it, and they need to take, instead of taking to the streets in these 2 weeks, people are saying they need to take the 2 weeks to clean their act up and make their sites safe and stop the spread of this virus.
Protesters are saying, well, they're chanting every day, aren't they? Every day of this lockout, they're going to keep turning up to protest, right?
That's what they're saying, yeah.
And in the meantime, Dana, while all this is happening, you get a quake. In fact, you get one of the biggest quakes that's hit Australia in years.
Yeah, huge day in Melbourne, in fact, with everything that's going on. But at about 9:15 this morning, there was a 5.9 magnitude earthquake that hit Mansfield in regional Victoria. That's about nearly 200 kilometres northeast of Melbourne,
oh,
and it's
yeah.
a largely unpopulated area.
So it's actually the epicentre was quite a long way from where you are.
Yes, but I can tell you it was felt across the state. Myself, I live right in the centre of Melbourne in the CBD, and our house shook for a good 30 seconds. So it was felt everywhere. And there was a restaurant in Chapel Street in particular, which is Chapel Street is a big dining precinct in Melbourne. It's usually pre-COVID, very popular nightlife and restaurant spot. A popular restaurant there, Betty's Burgers, the facade of the building completely collapsed and caved in there. And we've heard from the managing director of that restaurant that they've had engineers and site workers out today to make it safe. And they're thinking it could be a number of months before they can fully repair the damage there and reopen.
Have you ever felt anything like that, Dana?
I have never even experienced an earthquake before, so I was extremely surprised this morning. I thought it was some kind of gust of wind or work going on outside. I was really surprised when I found out it was an earthquake, and apparently it is the biggest quake they've had here in around 6 years, although we were hearing today on ABC local radio in Melbourne from some earthquake scientists who said that essentially, Victoria and New South Wales, including the ACT as well, are sort of overdue for a big quake like this. So it didn't catch them entirely by surprise, but I can tell you it certainly caught Melbourne by surprise.
You got mountains, you know. I mean, it might not be as big as the mountains on this side of the Tasman, but you got mountains, and normally when you get mountains, you get fault lines. But I guess Mansfield itself, that area, you say it's quite isolated, but it's still, given the shallow, how shallow it was at 10K or something like that, or 20K, and 5.8 on the Richter scale, 5.8, 5.9, I'm amazed that there wasn't more damage. Was there any serious damage anywhere? Nobody hurt?
No, there were no injuries, which was excellent news. We had around 35,000 people lost power right after, but that was quickly restored to most homes. What we've heard is there's been a bit of structural damage in different places. An insurance company, Allianz, has said that they've had 70 people lodge claims so far, and that ranges from sort of low-level damage like cracking to some significant structural issues. We heard that there was a church in a regional town not far from Mansfield, that the cross fell off the steeple there, but all in all, it really could have been much worse, and we were very fortunate that no major injuries were caused and that buildings can be rebuilt.
Dana, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
It's Dana Morse, ABC reporter in Melbourne. It's been a busy news day in that part of Australia.